Chapter 5. The Broken Sword. Gurgi ran off, yelping in terror. Gwydion was at Terran's side as the first rider bore down on them. With a quick gesture, Gwydion thrust a hand into his jacket and pulled out the net of grass. Suddenly, the withered wisps grew larger, longer, shimmering and crackling, nearly blinding Terran with streaks of liquid flame. The rider raised his sword. With a shout, Gwydion hurled the dazzling mesh into the warrior's face. Shrieking, the rider dropped his sword and grappled the air. He tumbled from his saddle, while the mesh spread over his body and clung to him like an enormous spider web. Gwydion dragged the stupefied Terran to an ash tree, and from his belt drew a hunting knife, which he thrust into Terran's hand. "This is the only weapon I can spare," he cried. "Use it as well as you can." His back to the tree, Gwydion faced the four remaining warriors. The great sword swung a glittering arc. The flashing blade sang above Gwydion's head. The attackers drove against them. One horse reared. For Terran, there was only a vision of hooves plunging at his face. The rider chopped viciously at Terran's head, swung around, and struck again. Blindly, Terran lashed out with the knife. Shouting in rage and pain, the rider clutched his leg and wheeled his horse away. There was no sign of Gurgi, but a white streak sped across the field. Melengar now had entered the fray, her golden mane tossing. Her white mare whinnied fearsomely and flung herself among the riders. Her mighty flanks dashed against them, crowding, pressing, while the steeds of the war party rolled their eyes in panic. One warrior jerked frantically at his reins to turn his mount away. The animal sank to its haunches. Melengar reared to her full height, her forelegs churning the air, and while her sharp hooves slashed the rider, who fell heavily to the earth. Melengar spun about, trampling the cowering horse. Three mounted warriors forced their way past the frenzied mare. At the ash tree, Gwydion's blade rang and clashed amongst the leaves. His legs were as though planted in the earth. The shock of the galloping riders could not dislodge him. His eyes shone with a terrible light. "Hold your ground but a little while," he cried to Terran. His sword whistled. One rider gave a choking cry. The other two did not press the attack, but hung back for a moment. Hoofbeats pounded over the meadow. Even as the attackers began to withdraw, two more riders galloped forward. They reined their horses sharply, dismounted without hesitation, and ran swiftly towards Gwydion. Their faces were pallid, their eyes like stones. Heavy bands of bronze circled their waist, and from these belts hung the black thongs of whips. Knobs of bronze studded their breastplates. They did not bear shield or helmet, and their mouths were frozen in the hideous grin of death. Gwydion's sword flashed up once more. "Fly!" he cried to Terran. "These are Cauldronborn! Take Melengar and ride from here!" Terran set himself more firmly against the ash tree and raised his knife. In another instant, the Cauldronborn were upon them. For Terran, the horror beating in him like black wings came not from the livid features of the Cauldron warriors with their sightless eyes, but from their ghostly silence. The mute men swung their swords, metal grated against metal. The relentless warriors struck and struck again. Gwydion's blade leaped past one opponent's guard and drove deep into his heart. Pale warrior made no outcry, no blood flowed as Gwydion ripped his weapon free. The Cauldronborn shook himself once without a grimace, and moved in again to the attack. Gwydion stood as a wolf at bay, his green eyes glittering, his teeth bared. The swords of the Cauldronborn beat against his guard. Terran thrust at one of the livid warriors, a sword point ripped his arm, and sent the small knife hurtling into the bracken. Blood streaked Gwydion's face, where an unlucky blow had slashed his cheekbone and forehead. Once his blade faltered and a Cauldronborn thrust at his breast. Gwydion turned, taking the sword point in his side. The pale warriors doubled their assault. The great shaggy head bowed warily as Gwydion stumbled forward. With a mighty cry, he lunged and then dropped to one knee. With his flagging strength, he fought to raise the blade again. The Cauldronborn flung aside their weapons, seized him and threw him to the ground and quickly bound him. Now the other two warriors approached. This one grasped Terran by the throat and the other tied his hands behind him. Terran was dragged to Melengar and thrown across her back, where he lay side by side with Gwydion. "Are you badly hurt?" asked Gwydion, striving to raise his head. "No," Terran said, "but your own wound is grave."
"It is not the wound that pains me," said Gwydion with a bitter smile. "I've taken worse and lived. Why did you not flee as I ordered? I knew I was powerless against the Cauldronborn, but I could have held the ground for you. Yet you fought well enough, Terran Caer Dalben."
"You're more than a war leader," Terran whispered. "Why do you keep the truth from me? I remember the net of grass you wove before we crossed the Avern, but in your hands today it was no grass I've ever seen."
"I am what I told you. The wisp of grass, yes, it is little more than that. Dalben himself taught me the use of it.
You two are an enchanter?
I have certain skills. Alas, they are not great enough to defend myself against the powers of Auron. Today, he added, they were not enough to protect a brave companion.
One of the Cauldronborn spurred his horse alongside Melengar. Snatching the whip from his belt, he lashed brutally at the captives.
Say no more, Gwydion whispered. You will only bring yourself pain. If we should not meet again, farewell.
The party rode along without a halt. Fording the shallow river Wystrad, the Cauldronborn pressed tightly on either side of the captives. Taryn dared once again to speak to Gwydion, but the lash cut his words short. Taryn's throat was parched. Waves of dizziness threatened to drown him. He could not be sure how long they had ridden, for he lapsed into feverish dreams. The sun was still high, and he was dimly aware of a hill with a tall gray fortress looming at its crest. Melengar's hooves rung on the stones as a courtyard opened before him. Rough hands pulled him from Melengar's back and drove him, stumbling, down an arching corridor. Gwydion was half-dragged, half-carried before him. Taryn tried to catch up to his companion, but the lash of the Cauldronborn beat into his knees. The guard hauled him upright again and kicked him forward. At length, the captives were led into a spacious council chamber. Torches flickered from walls hung with scarlet tapestries. Outside, it had been full daylight. Here in the great windowless hall, the chill and dampness of night rose from the cold flagstones like mist. At the far end of the hall, on a throne carved of black wood, sat a woman. Her long hair glittered silver in the torchlight. Her face was young and beautiful. Her pale skin seemed paler still above her crimson robe. Jeweled necklaces hung at her throat. Gem-studded bracelets circled her wrists, and heavy rings threw back the flickering torches. Gwydion's sword lay at her feet. The woman rose quickly.
"What shame to my household is this?" she cried at the warriors. "The wounds of these men are fresh and untended. Someone shall answer for this neglect."
She stopped in front of Taryn.
"And this lad can barely keep to his feet."
She clapped her hands.
"Bring food and wine and medicine for their injuries."
She turned to him again.
"Poor boy," she said with a pitying smile. "There's been grievous mischief done today."
She touched his wound with a soft, pale hand. At the pressure of her fingers, a comforting warmth filled Taryn's aching body. Instead of pain, a delicious sensation of repose came over him. Repose as he remembered it from long days forgotten in Caer Dalben, the warm bed of his childhood, drowsy summer afternoons.
"How do you come here?" she asked quietly.
"We crossed the Gate Averin," Taryn began. "You see what happened?"
"Silence!" Gwydion's voice rang out. "She is Akron! She sets a trap for you!"
Taryn gasped. For an instant, he could not believe such beauty concealed the evil of which he had been warned. Had Gwydion mistaken her? Nevertheless, he shut his lips tightly. The woman, in no surprise, turned to Gwydion.
"This is not courtesy to accuse me of this."
"Your wound excuses your conduct, but there is no need for anger. Who are you? Why do you—"
Gwydion's eyes flashed. "You know me as well as I know you, Akron."
He spat the name through his bleeding lips.
"I have heard Lord Gwydion was traveling in my realm. Beyond that—"
"Auron sent his soldiers to slay us," cried Gwydion, "and here they stand in your council hall. Do you say that you know nothing more?"
"Auron sent soldiers to find you, not slay you," answered Akron,
"or you would not be alive at this moment."
"Now that I see you face to face," she said, her eyes on Gwydion, "I'm glad such a man is not bleeding out his life in a ditch, for there is much we have to discuss, and much that you can profit from."
"If you would treat with me," said Gwydion, "unbind me and return my sword."
"You make demands?" Akron asked gently. "Perhaps you do not understand. I offer you something you cannot have even if I loosened your hands and gave you back your weapon. By that, Lord Gwydion, I mean your life."
"In exchange for what?"
"I had thought to bargain with another life," said Akron, glaring at Taryn. "But I see he is of no consequence, alive or dead."
"No," she said. "There are other pleasanter ways to bargain."
"You do not know me as well as you think, Gwydion. There is no future for you beyond these gates. Here I can promise—"
"Your promises reek of Anavin," cried Gwydion. "I scorn them. It is no secret which you are."
Akron's face turned livid. Hissing, she struck at Gwydion, and her blood-red nails raked his cheek. Akron unsheathed Gwydion's sword. Holding it in both hands, she drove the point towards his throat, stopping only a hair's breadth from it.
Gwydion stood proudly, his eyes blazing. "No," cried Akron, "I will not slay you. You shall come to wish I had, and beg a mercy of the sword. You scorn my promises. This promise will be kept."
Akron raised the sword above her head and smote with all of her force against a stone pillar. Sparks flashed, and the blade rang unbroken. With a scream of rage, she dashed the weapon to the ground. The sword shone, still undamaged. Akron seized it again, gripped the sharp blade itself until her hands ran scarlet. Her eyes rolled back into her head, her lips moving and twisting. A thunderclap filled the hall, a light burst like crimson sun, and the broken weapon fell to pieces on the ground. "So I shall break you!" Akron shrieked. She raised her hand to the cauldronborn and called out in a strange, harsh language. The pale warrior strode forward and dragged Taryn and Gwydion from the hall. In a dark passageway of stone, Taryn struggled with his captors, fighting to reach Gwydion's side. One of the cauldronborn brought a whip handle down on Taryn's head.